This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We're back with Ann Bremner, one of the nation's most recognized legal analysts, talking the Alec Murdaugh case. And so many layers to this onion that we are continuing to try to unpeel. What's your thoughts on the brother testifying recently here about the access to the crime scene? That to me was kind of shocking that he's out there. And I know it's not the job of the police to clean up the brain matter and all that. But the fact that he's down there that quickly, the timeline of it is what's disturbing to me, that the family had access to the crime scene so fast. And I don't feel like the brother really had anything to do with anything. I think he was just doing what he thought was right. But yeah, he's there. Why did they not have this cordoned off for longer periods of time to do some true forensic analysis of the scene and not have the brother down there with spick and span cleaning it up and then using the Find My iPhone app to find the phone and picking it up himself?
Oh, I know. And but again, I mean, let's harken back to what Alec testified to on cross. He had a badge. He put blue lights in his car. Yeah. I mean, he was at the hospital with those kids after the boat accident, saying he represented all of them and throwing his weight around like he's the prosecution and the police.
Yeah.
So that access doesn't surprise me. It was great testimony for the defense in terms of not securing a crime scene and sloppy police investigation.
Is it sloppy because it's just kind of a backwoods town and they don't see these sort of things to this degree on a normal basis? Or was it sloppy because it was Alec Murdaugh and everything had been kind of, they just knew that's more laid back with him and he'll kind of lead the way, even in this case?
I think the latter. I really do. I mean, I think that he was considered law enforcement. The solicitor, you know, is the prosecutor, and that's been his family's office for decades and decades. So, you know, he's working with the police. People are all related, you know, in this case, not all, but you've seen that too, and tied together. And then the kind of that Southern, my sense of kind of the Southern gentility, which is, geez, here's his family. Let's let them come in and, you know, and comfort him. I mean, because everybody was there. Remember, I mean, everybody shows up.
Yeah.
And took care of him.
And what does surprise me, I guess, a little bit is the, maybe it doesn't surprise you, I'm curious to get your opinion, the amount of people who still seem to be standing behind Alec. I mean, it's family, yes, but how damning this is. And all of the things that have been exposed of what he has done. Does it surprise you that more of them have not run for the hills away from him, that they're not, that they are still sticking by his side?
Yes and no. I mean, I think, you know, often you see in these cases where a parent kills the other parent and the kids side with the accused killer because they kind of cling on to the remaining part of the family, you know, out of love and fear that it's true, you know, that the killing was by their parent. But I think, you know, I think he's convincing and they love him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really weird to watch. That brother was a good witness, I thought. I mean, he was pretty straightforward. And when he said, I promised Paul that I'd find the real killer or killers. And then the question was, and have you? And he said, no.
Yeah. And the fact that I'm just kind of observing this right now, he looked a lot like Mike Rowe from American Pickers, if you will. And that, I mean, just I think kind of the familiarity and the, oh, just kind of a nice looking friendly guy that you kind of trust. And I think he came across very authentic. I think he was authentic. I think he was just being himself, but finds himself in this twisted mess. As this thing starts to wrap up, where do you see it going? Where would you, how do you think it should wrap up? What sort of points should be made by the prosecution before things are done?
Well, I wish the prosecutor had followed the rules of cross-examination from Irving Younger, which is basically be brilliant, you know, be brief, be seated, don't ask open-ended questions, don't ask why, don't let people explain, you know, all those kinds of things. I'd like to see him in closing argument take that piece he used in cross with the actual phone, tech evidence, the car, you know, all of those kinds of things that tell us, and Snapchat video. He had to be there. And by the way, do you think some killers just like jumped out of the woods knowing both those people were at the kennels and that Alex wasn't there and had guns ready with no motive would take him out? That's the kind of case he needs to put on in closing. Just the reasonable person, the everyman approach, but use the evidence. Evidence, you know, witnesses can and they can be mistaken and lie, but evidence never lies, period. The defense, you know, they've got a guy that they could sell. And they're acting pretty folksy themselves. And if they can basically use all the holes they put into the state's case and convince a jury how much love there was there, they may have one or two jurors kind of glom onto that. But I don't think the whole jury.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Ann Bremner, one of the nation's most recognized legal analysts and trial attorney. Thank you so much for your insight into the case of Alec Murdaugh. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our discussions on the case, breaking updates, and of course, trial coverage as it happens. We bring it to you right here. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.